Chapter 112, Psalms 112. Beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as we just sang, you are welcome here. Come and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm starting a three-week sermon series today called Integrity for Dummies. Now, please don't take offense at that. I'm not calling anyone a dummy. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of this dummy thing, this dummy book. In November of 1991, the first dummies book of the series came out, and it was called DOS for Dummies. Anybody know what DOS is? All right, I was in the computer world for 20 years, and I definitely knew what DOS was. Disk Operating System. It was came out in November of 1991. It had this go pull it back up there one more time, Lee. It had this distinctive cover on there. Somebody wake Lee up. You're awake? Okay, he's awake. It's a little early in the sermon for Lee to be asleep, so he's with us. DOS for Dummies came out in November 1991. It had this distinctive cover, and over a period of time, it has evolved, and now you have, I think the next one was maybe Windows for Dummies, and then you got Word and Excel for Dummies, and now they've got Gardening for Dummies, and, you know, what else? You know, Woodworking for Dummies, and there's hundreds of books in this series, and each one of the books has this little guy with the triangle head, and they call him, anybody know? What his name, what he goes by? Dummies Man. Now, they started, you know, a lot of people don't know this, the first DOS for Dummies actually had a picture of me on there, but it didn't sell very well, so they went ahead and went with the triangular guy. It really, really, really wasn't. I really wasn't on there. It has been translated into many different languages. These dummies books are all over. This series of books are all over the world. And here's the deal: what they are known for is to make a difficult subject simple. A difficult subject simple. So, hence the title, Integrity for Dummies. So, today's sermon is entitled Integrity 101. We're going to spend 3 weeks talking about this idea of integrity. Now, I want to say this about as we go through, as we step through thinking about integrity. God is calling us, and the Bible says it this way, it's calling us to a life of holiness. Okay? And that's really what we're saying with integrity, to a life of holiness. Now, the problem is the church, and many, many times, many Christians get it wrong. We think that we somehow earn favor with God through our good works, in that we, you know, if you're good, you're going to go to heaven. If you weren't so good, you may not go to heaven. You may go to hell. And that's the mistake that we make as a church. And that's not biblical at all. And it's not, I mean, it disregards the cross. That sets the cross aside. But the real truth of the matter is that we are saved through faith by grace. God's grace, that's what the cross was, Jesus accomplished on the cross. He saved us. But yet then he calls us to this life of holiness, this life of integrity. And so that, and we talked the last few weeks and we talked about being ambassadors for Christ. Someone that's lacking integrity, how do you think, what type of ambassador for Christ do you think they are? Many times, when we profess Christ and we don't live out our lives in integrity and holiness, we're actually God's worst enemy. We are the church's worst enemy. And so I want us to make sure that we're, as we talk about this, we don't make the mistake of thinking, "Oh, I've got to be a man of integrity to have God's favor." No, that's grace. This is a different matter. Okay, if you'll take your handout, your insert. Many of you probably, use that to line your birdcage, when you go home. But today, there's something on there that I really want you to take note of. I'm going to walk you through an integrity index, so that you rate yourself on integrity. Now, I'm going to give you just a few seconds on each one of those to write a number between 1 and 10. Now, I would say this. Number one, no one's perfect. We're all going to have areas of strength and areas where we need to improve. But 10 would be, I really got this one nailed. I'm really good at that. 1 would be not so much. And then obviously in between. Now, no cheating, because if you look on your neighbor's paper, that right there tells you have no integrity. I want to make that rule real clear. So if anybody sees somebody cutting their eyes over at your page, thought you were supposed to be a person of integrity. All right. Now, so 1 to 10, and I want you to just rate yourself. I think the first instinct that you have is probably going to be pretty accurate. If you're thinking, "Man, I'm really good at that," that's going to be pretty accurate. If you think, "That one kind of stepped on my toes a little bit there," then you're probably not so good at it. Okay, are you ready? Everybody got a pen? You ready? First one, telling the truth. Does your yes mean yes? Does your no mean no? When you say something, can people take it to the bank? Now, I'll tell you where this one's really hard. It's for people pleasers. Because we want so bad to say yes. We want so bad to say yes. I remember several years ago, before I was nearly as mature as I am today, but I remember I was not a pastor, I was in a church, and I was asked to serve if y'all have been around here long, you know that talking about money, I'd rather have my forehead stitched to this carpet. I mean, I just don't like doing it. But they asked me to serve as the finance chairman. Jody knows. He's laughing. I mean, that was the worst role that you could possibly put a human being in. And being the yes person that I am, the people person that I am, I said, yeah, put me down. Well, for my 3 years of serving on that, I didn't do nothing. Because it wasn't my gift. So my no should have been no. All right? Keeping your word, that kind of ties into the same story. Do you do what you said you would do? Showing up on time. Do you respect the time of others by being on time to meetings, to work, to appointments? I've worked, now, if I've done your wedding, please, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I've had where I've done weddings, and they say, rehearsals at 6 o'clock, about 8:30, everybody shows up. That's being that's being disrespectful to everybody else there. Showing up on time reflects our integrity. Managing your money. Do you pay your bills? Do you spend responsibly? Do you live within your means? Do you handle the blessings that God has given you appropriately with your money? Doing your job. Do you give your boss or your clients an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay? And I'll add this, when nobody's looking. You know, it's easy to work hard when the boss is standing right over you. Sharing credit. Do you give people credit for what they do at work and at home? I mean, do you acknowledge it? It's like, that was Jim's idea. That wasn't my idea. When it's something successful. We kind of do that when it was bad. That was Jim's idea. But when it's successful, do we give other people credit? Our internet browser history. Is your internet activity honorable? I have a funny story about that. I'm not going to tell it, but anyway. Conversation. You can ask me later. I'll tell it to you. Conversation. How do you talk to others, and how do you talk about others? Giving. Are you a generous person? Do you share your blessings with others and with God? Helping others. Are you willing to inconvenience yourself in order to do something good for someone else? Managing your emotions. Are you a patient person? Do you have control over your anger, your self-pity, your pride, your bitterness, your arrogance? If any of these are stepping on your toes, I'm glad because mine are bleeding. Respect. Do you treat all people with honor and dignity, regardless of who they are, where they come from, the class, anything at all? Prayer life. Is prayer a foundational part of your life? Or is God the great Santa Claus in the sky that we pray to when we need something? Bible study, are you spending time in God's Word consistently? And finally, worship. And I'm not just talking about church attendance. Do you consistently surrender to and celebrate the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you, is your heart sore? And we just sang just a moment ago, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. This when you think of Jesus and what He's done to you, for you, does your heart soar? Do you worship Him? A perfect score, if you add all of these up, a perfect score would be 150. If you scored 150, you probably misunderstood the exam. It's not scoring me. It's your score. I'm kidding. I don't think any of us would score 150, but that's the goal. And these are just a few of the many things that indicate, are we a person of integrity? Are we a person of integrity? Now, before I start really kind of digging into this scripture a little bit deeper, I want to set some foundational principles for integrity. Number one is that integrity involves every area of your life, not just the areas you're good at. We tend to, really, if somebody were to say to you, are you a person of integrity? We tend to automatically go to those things we're good at. And that's our frame, our reference that we have. But it involves every area of your life, including the ones that you're not so great at. Secondly, no matter where you are today on this scale, we can get better. It's called this, you know, Wesley called it this sanctification in us, this purifying of us, this bringing us into a deeper level of holiness, walking with our Lord. And the third principle that I want us to just kind of, as we're going through this, is that I want us to think about is that what matters most is your integrity. Another mistake that we make is we start rating the people in our lives, our spouse, our parent, our sibling, our neighbor, our coworker, our pastor. we start rating other people and say, yeah, man,
my spouse really stinks at that one.
But that's let your spouse worry about that one. What we want to reflect on is our integrity. So we're going to take a look at this idea of integrity. And when I say integrity 101, I'm talking about the basics of integrity. What we're going to look at today is where integrity begins, what it looks like, and what happens from it. Okay, the first thing, integrity begins, number one, integrity begins with respect for the Lord and His commands. Now, I want you to kind of think if you've been here the last 3 weeks, I preached on the vision of our church. Does it? Somebody, please tell me you know what it is. Say it. Love God, love people, offer Christ. And I want you to see, and I didn't really work. I wish I could say that I'm not taking credit for this. I mean, this is a God thing. That makes me, I need to raise my score on that one right there. But we are, the parallel between today's message, this being a man of integrity, a person of integrity, and the vision of our church, love God, love people, offer Christ. This first point is integrity begins with respect for the Lord and His commands. Listen to verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who finds great delight in His commands. Now, fears the Lord, it's not when you think of God, you kind of go, ooh, and He's going to zap me when I'm bad. That's not what that word means at all. It means basically that we understand that God is God and we're not. God is God and we're not. And that we are not the center of the universe. He is. We are not the center of the universe. And so there's this reverence, this awe when we think of God and how big He is and how powerful He is and yet how much He loves us. And that's this fear and this reverence for the Lord. So blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who finds great delight in His commands. Integrity, just as we can't be the church God has called us to be if we don't love God and understand that our love for God flows out of His love for us. We can't be a person of integrity until we understand that God loves us. And God loves us. It's the foundation of everything. And I just want to encourage you, if you didn't get one of the books last week, I think there's some more out there. The last half of that book is a 30-day reading plan through the book of John. And it just guides you through 30 days of reading the book of John. We've got to get into God's Word, church, because I'm telling you, maybe I'm the only one that knows it, but our world is messed up. I mean, and it seems to me like a snowball rolling down the hill. We're messed up and it ain't getting better. And so God's people, we've got to be grounded in God's Word. We have to understand who God is, how much He loves us, and yet that He is a holy God. He is a holy God. And that truth is truth, and we have to know His Word. It says in this passage that we find great delight in His commands. We must have a strong moral compass in order to be a person of integrity. And you can't have a strong moral compass based on, and even if you had a good mom and dad, based on what mom and dad taught you, based on what you hear on the news, based on what your best friends and you talked about over coffee, that's not the basis of our moral compass. God is. Did you know God has an opinion on everything? Did you know that? God has an opinion on everything. And His opinion is the only one that matters. When we are surrendered, when our life is surrendered to Him, so the trick is, what's God have to say about it? Whatever it is, what does God have to say about that? What does God have to say about that? And the only way we know that is to read His Word, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He speaks to our heart, and He tells us how He feels about things, what His commandments are, what His truth is. So we must connect personally with Jesus Christ, and we must get in His Word. We must delight in His Word. The second thing, you want to be a person of integrity, you treat people well. You treat people well. I'm just telling you, when you meet mean people, first thing in my mind is, they're They either don't know the Lord or they're just really, 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 really hurting over something. There's just something is just really hurting them. But our goodness to one another, how we treat other people, should attract us to people to us, and we can point them to God. A person of integrity treats people well. Listen to this. We're going to run through five different qualities that this passage lays out for us today in Psalm 112. Five different qualities of a person of integrity. And this, again, comes out of the passage. First, it says that integrity is gracious. A person of integrity is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. And it goes on to say, even in difficult times. Gracious, compassionate, righteous. Verse 4 says, even in darkness, meaning when things aren't going well, and when the world, right now, so much of our culture is surrounded in darkness. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Now, gracious, so let's look at those three for just a second. Gracious can just be just a simple thank you, I'm sorry. When people wrong you, and you still treat them well, when people wrong you and you still treat them well, our culture, we've lost even the smallest courtesies, opening a door for a lady. I mean, some of you ladies can probably attest. It's kind of how I was raised. You try to be respectful and open doors for folks. And it's amazing how many people, it's like I just, you know, like they just won the lottery or something. They're just so grateful and thankful that I opened the door for them. I'm like, shouldn't everybody be, what? I mean, shouldn't men be respectful and honor our ladies and our culture? Being gracious, compassionate, to be able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. Just to realize that, you know, that there, things have not gone real well for that person. And I just want to bless them. And maybe you don't have the means to bless them financially, but maybe it's just in some sort of service. You know, I didn't get permission on this, but my wife, her love language, she'll bake cookies for somebody or something that she knows somebody's done something nice for us, and she'll bake cookies for them or something along. I'm really usually hacked because, you know, my cookies are going out the door. But, you know, whatever your giftedness is, share it with other people. Be a compassionate person. And then righteous. Righteous, we tend to make that a religious word. It's really not a religious word. It means right doing. I don't know if I put that on your handout, but in quote, right doing. If you make a promise, keep it. Be a person of your word. If you owe a bill, pay it. Now, I know that sometimes we fall on financial hard times and we have to make some sort of other arrangement, and God understands that. But when we have the ability to, we have a bill, pay it. When we make a mistake, correct it. Don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry. David also says in this psalm, he also says that a person of integrity is generous and fair-minded. Verse 5, God will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Now, generous is pretty self-explanatory. We understand that just being able to pour out blessings on others. But that fair-minded, we instinctively know when something is fair and when it's not, don't we? We know when we've been ripped off. We know when someone has treated us unfairly. We know it. As I've told you a few weeks ago, helping the kids to build a house. And we've had so far, you know, we have had really great success with our subs. Our subs have done what they said they would do. They've been there when they said they would be there. And when they're through, we've tried to pay them on time. And so we've had a really good experience the first month of this process. But I've built three other houses, and that's not really the norm in that world. It's very normal for people to not do what they say they would do, to renege on what was agreed upon, not show up when they said they would show up, and no phone call, no explanation. So, you know, when we conduct our, and I'm just using that one illustration, we can take that and put it in our own life. When we're not treating people fairly, with honesty and integrity, it shows and it reflects on Christ. When we're going around telling people, I'm a Christian, oh, and by the way, I just ripped you off. I'm a Christian, but I just ripped you off. Well, that is doing damage to the message of Christ. So this psalm is telling us to be gracious, to be compassionate, to be righteous, to be generous, to be fair-minded. A person of integrity treats people well. Treats people well. And lastly, integrity, this is the payoff. Integrity results in blessings. Now, I'm not a preacher of the prosperity gospel. I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of godly people that can struggle financially, and I don't understand all of that. Why some people? I know there's a lot of people that are not godly people, not people of integrity, and they flourish financially. So this is not, when we talk about blessings, we're not talking about financial blessings necessarily, although I do believe that the Lord can reward us in that way as well. But I'm talking about that just the peace that passes understanding being in our lives. We can lay our head on the pillow and know. I mean, what a great feeling to lay your head on the pillow and go, Lord, I know I walked today with integrity. I walked today with integrity. And there's a blessing that comes from that. There's an inner joy that comes with that. And it says in this passage, in verse 2, it says that we'll be a positive influence on others. Verse 2 says, His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And it says in verse 3, His righteousness endures forever. So there, it was actually Tommy and Sharon's cousin did a funeral for her Friday. I didn't know her. I'd met her once before. Actually did her daughter's funeral 5 years ago. But I could tell by the things the family was saying about her that this was a lady that lived her life with integrity. And it showed because her family was, you could tell that they just, man, she's left this lasting legacy, this mark that she had placed on her family because of the lady that she was and how she loved her family. So you'll be a positive influence on others, and just that in itself is a blessing. And then the next part of that is of the blessing is you will live above your circumstances. And I talked about this a little bit while ago in verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look on his triumph on his foes. So there's this peace that comes with living a life of integrity. Living a life of integrity. So today I'm just kind of putting the fleece out there, putting the groundwork out there as we begin to talk about integrity. Next week we'll be moving more into the how do we increase our integrity index, if you will. So I want to ask you today, the point is for us to understand the basics of integrity. And so I would ask you, how's your, and not to show anyone, that's yours to keep. If you didn't fill out the index, I encourage you to do that on your own later. But how is your integrity index? How'd you do? And so the areas where we're probably weakest are the areas that I think God would have us to focus on and have us to raise those scores in those areas. And to do that, to live a life of integrity, we surrender ourselves every day to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, if Jesus is not Lord of our lives, then I can tell you our integrity index is going to be low. The deeper we get with Christ, the more we press into that relationship with Him, we'll see those scores rising. The more we get into His Word, those things will begin to rise. We'll begin to treat people differently. We'll begin to delight in His commands. We'll begin to take pleasure in doing right. So I want us to, if you would, just bow your heads with me. Father, I'm thankful that you don't come to us with your mercy because we're people of integrity. But Father, I do pray that we would become deeper and deeper with our walk with you, that you would help us, Father, to be people of integrity, that people would see that, and they would be drawn to us, and we can point them to you. God, let our yes be yes and our no, no. Let the words of our mouth be salted with compassion and generosity. When people look at us and listen to us and watch us, may they see Jesus. May it bless you. Or you can say, that's my boy. That's my child. Help us to take pleasure in you, that you might take even more pleasure in us. Father, help us where we're weak. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you stand, if you would like to talk to me about our church or about accepting Christ this morning, I'll be down front.
Savior, I come. Quiet my soul, remember redemption till when your blood was spilled. To the cross where your love poured out. Rid me of my sins and lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me.
Blessed is the man, and I would add woman, who fears the Lord and finds great delight in his commandments. Go and be in person of integrity. Go and tell someone and fear this God. God bless you.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me.